what they are doing now, becoming a parent, that's already the hardest job that they are doing, because they are raising another human being.
You're listening to the UI Narrative Podcast, the bi-weekly podcast that shares the stories of people of color, interface designers and researchers, and their contributions towards creating user-centered experiences. And I'm your host, Tolu Ajayi. Let's get started. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the UI Narrative Podcast. Today we have a guest. Terry Rodriguez Hong is a UX UI designer from Silicon Valley, bridging the gap with products to be accessible by all users. She earned her MFA from the University of Hawaii, where the Aloha spirit profoundly influenced her. She wholeheartedly believes accessibility is everything and loves to connect the dots between the company and the end user. She's also a volleyball fan with a Polynesian soul and an avid Muay Thai boxer addict and holistic designer performing at the junction of design and to crafting meaningful ideas. Everyone give a warm welcome to our guest, Terry.
Hello, hello. Welcome to have me on.
Yeah, so Terry, I want to start with you telling us a little bit about your journey to UX design.
Wow, that would be a really short-lived journey, but a very powerful one. I started off doing production work and the world of graphic design and everything like that. So I was interviewing, and there was this one interview that it was really, really, I felt like I was doing well answering the questions and everything like that. So when the art director started to ask me about questions about UX, and that's the first time that I've ever heard the term, and I'm like, maybe the interview is not going so well after all. And I was honest with him saying, well, can you explain a little bit more? Because I haven't really, you know, heard that term a little bit. And he says, that is okay. And he briefly just told me a little bit what it was. And then he said, Terry, I really think you should take a UX class. He says, you have a great foundation of your design and everything else, but I think when you take the UX class, it's going to help you. And that was the best advice that I have gotten from an art director, and actually in a interview aspect. So I was really, really grateful to him, you know, when he explained it and when he gave me feedback. And from there, that's when I looked at different boot camps. And this was back in 2016. So it's been a couple years. And from then, that's when I found out and I took the boot camp. And it was fun and tough. And it just cracked the surface of what UX is. Our industry is always growing. You're always learning and things change, and you just have to be flexible with that change.
Yeah, definitely. It's not the same as it was like a decade ago. Each year I'm learning that there's new terminology from some things are being taken out. So it's like an ever-learning journey of understanding how you can best connect what the needs are for the company UX-wise. And, you know, if that means you need to brush up your knowledge on some things, like there's always room to grow, basically. It's never like you just learn one thing and then you are completely done with UX design.
Yeah, I would have to definitely agree with you, because it's just an ongoing craft, an ongoing learning for all facets, for all the stakeholders. You know, it's just not design, because everything is just really woven into one as well.
I know that you did a career pivot. You want to talk a little bit about that? Like, what sparked your interest to switch career fields into design? And I know you got influenced by the art director who told you more about like how there's courses out there to get some UX experience. But I just want to see more about like how you got introduced to design in general.
Yeah, absolutely. When I started, I actually started in the fine arts area. And when I went to University of Hawaii, I was in the MFA program doing printmaking, and that was a really interesting pivot. When I was in the printmaking studio, I would see other undergraduates doing design work. They would be on their laptops, or they would print something out, and they would have their small crits in the studio. And then I would pass by and kind of like eyeballing it. And sooner or later, they would walk by what I was doing. And just, I think it was like working really late in the studio. I think it was like 1 o'clock in the morning or like 2 o'clock. I can't remember, but it was like jam packed in that studio. So we had a couple graduate students and we had a couple undergraduate students. And then from there, we were all hungry and we ordered some food. And then we just all got together and just like, what is that? What are you doing? What is that? And we start asking questions. And then from there, I was kind of hooked on design and they were kind of hooked on doing printmaking because in design, it's definitely have borders and you've got to stay within the grid. And when you do printmaking, you know, you got this big stone and you're just like coloring the heck out of it and throwing acid on it or scraping, you know, there wasn't no grid. There was no boundary. So we kind of flipped the switch of that. So that was really interesting for me to do the opposite, like, you know, to stay in the grid, stay in this small space. I didn't have like a 22 by 30 stone to really carve and ink on. So yeah, so that's actually how I got into design.
That's so interesting that it kind of happened by accident, but I think it's awesome too, like how you were connecting with others that were, you know, in the same university or course as you, right? And then seeing how they were going about design, but in a different way. And I think that's why it's so important to connect with people outside of like your normal circle, because you never know what's going to spark that creativity and also to expand your range of knowledge about design. So it's like you can only know as much about design as, you know, what's in your circle, right? So it's like you're constantly needing to like branch outside of that to get other perspectives, see what other people are doing. And also too, you might end up bringing some of that into your own work.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, just last night I was on Twitter late, of course, and just kind of streaming. And somebody said about like, oh, I just finished my first quilting blanket. And basically I'm going quilting. It's like, oh my God, you've got to be so patient. And that's going to be so hard. Well, actually it turns out this person did their first quilt. Everything is like hand done. And he was saying it was like so relaxing. I'm like, maybe I should try that. I suck at quilting. I have no idea. So anyway, he was really sweet. And then basically he actually DM'd me like, okay, well, this is what you need to get started on. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to order the book next week. I am so bad at sewing. I can't sew on a button. But I was like, I'm going to try it and see. Quilting. So you just never know what you can do or what it can happen, be inspired by something.
Definitely. One of the amazing things about the tech industry is that you can come from like any background and bring those lived experiences into the products that you make. So I want to know, like, what's it like being a working mother in the tech industry?
Oh, wow. That has, you can probably write a whole book, because the unexpected will happen. The expected will happen. The good days and bad days, but happy days, the meltdown days, just the messy days. When things go wrong, things do go wrong, but it's like the whole Murphy Law of it. But at the end of the day, it's all good memories with your family. It's all good memories with your children, or also too, if you don't have children, good days with your parents, or good days even with your pets, because pets are children too. So it's definitely, it can be challenging because some kids are home, some kids are not, but it is fun. Definitely, I have learned to manage my time fast. I've learned to manage to remember things faster for me. I've even included my children with their schoolwork, we have of our own scrums in the morning. So we all meet together like, okay, so what are you working on today? And they give me a little spiel. Okay. And we come together as a team. Okay, break, you know, just kind of bring them into the household more, include them in everyday life and stuff, because since we're all in together at the house, so we try to make it everything we do as a family affair as much as possible.
That's beautiful. I love that you have tasks specifically for them to feel included. So I'm wondering, like, were you working remotely before the pandemic, or did you just start working at home currently?
No, at the pandemic, I was in the office. I was doing my day job. I was out and about and coming. And once we had the pandemic, everybody was remote. So I was like everybody else. If they were at work, I was at work. The pandemic, we're home, we're home.
I imagine that some days it must be really tough to get work done. So what are some of the systems that you have set up to get work done on like your toughest days?
Oh my God. This might sound a little extreme to a couple people, but I have my family, they have their own calendar and I have my calendar.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And they have their own to-do lists and I have my own to-do list. So when we sit together, we all have our, you know, our lists and we ask each other, so mom, did you do XYZ? No, I didn't do it. Okay, well, make sure you do that in the next break or whatnot. So we always check in with each other and they all have timers. They have 20 minutes to do a certain subject or learning, and then they take a break. And that's what I follow too. So we can have breaks pretty much on the same time. But if something comes up, then they just do what they need to do. And then I will continue.
Yeah, I think it's great to have some type of like management with how each day is going to go. I don't personally have children, but I've seen that method working for my brother and also to one of my friends who has children, just because I know from their experiences and also too from hearing from yours how time can go by very fast just from trying to, you know, help them with their schoolwork and then also too trying to get your work done. And then before you know it, it's dinner time. And then you haven't gotten anything done at work. So yeah, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, so this one's another question that I have for you. How can you take a negative and turn that into a positive?
Oh God, that has got to be one of the easiest questions I think anybody has really asked me, because I don't look at anything negative. That word is not in my vocabulary. I don't believe it in. I just think what that brings to life is something, it's not good, it's not nice. So why even like look at it? So, you know, I believe that whatever that comes to you, it's always learning. It's always a new learning experience because nobody's perfect. There's no such thing as being perfect at anything or anything. But people are very good at something. They can be very, very well skilled, very good at something. But you know, we're all human. So anything that I look at, it's, you know, it's just as a positive. Just, oh my gosh, I'm learning something. Somebody is taking the time to give me a tip. Somebody is taking the time to show me something. Somebody is taking their time to really explain something that maybe I had a question on. And it goes both ways too. You can definitely explain to somebody if you see them, if they're struggling with something, maybe public speaking or maybe learning how to cook or, you know, just like me, just trying to pick up a new hobby of like doing quilting. I have no idea what to do or anything. So anyway, you know, he was nice enough, send me a DM. Oh, this is where you start. Okay, great. Well, that's where I start. I'll buy a book and I'll look at the book, see what's about. So it's definitely, it's always a positive to look at a positive when you're learning something new, because you can always learn as a learning opportunity, always.
Yeah, and I think like as designers, an area where we fall short is comparing ourselves to others. It can make us feel, you know, more pessimistic as far as like growth, right? Something I like to tell people that are getting started is to give yourself grace. This is completely new to you. You're going to be making tremendous growth along the way, but you can't be comparing yourself to someone who's been in the industry any amount of years more than you, even if it's just a couple of years more than you, because they're on a different journey right now, right? So it's like you have to paint the picture in a way to, so that way you see like you're at the beginning phase, but it's, you're going to be making progress. So, and something I like to do each day is have like a reflection sheet. So I like to write down like things that I'm getting completed each day. So that way at the end of the week, I can see like, oh, I actually did a lot more than I thought I did, even though I had those couple or few days this week where, you know, I was unmotivated and I didn't get anything done. I just watched Netflix all day, right? So it's like you have to have those reflections to encourage yourself as well. And I think that's another way you can take like a negative into a positive.
Oh, yeah. There's different ways to do different things. It's just the process, because the process that people may take differently may work for others that may not work for somebody else. And that's okay. That's what the whole discovery phase is too, right? Because you discover new things each day, you know, even with design. Because when you design something, yeah, it may look good, or it may, yeah, I think this is it. And then a month later, like, oh, what was I thinking? That's a little off there. Maybe we can tweak it this way. So again, that's just part of the process.
Let's take a short break. Are you ready to become a UI or UX designer or researcher? I'm now offering consultation calls for getting started in UI UX design. In this call, we'll talk about your strengths and I'll help you discover how to get started in the tech industry. Before our call, I'll send you the Career Pivot to UI UX Design 16-page guide for free. In this guide, I go over what to expect, education, software, portfolio, and the job market. You can book your call at uinarrative.com/workwithme. That's uinarrative.com/workwithme. Once you're on the webpage, choose Getting Started in UI UX Design to book your appointment with me. I cannot wait to talk to you and help you find clarity on which UI or UX path is right for you. Another thing I want to ask is, I imagine most, if not all mothers are going through, you know, the most right now, trying to raise kids while working from home. Do you have any advice to mothers looking to make a career pivot, like any tips to get started or anything like that?
Yeah, actually, but I really, really hope that they don't feel like they are selling themselves short. Like, oh, I've been out of work out of X amount of years, or basically I took time off and now I'm going back. They should feel confident enough that they do have the skills already to pivot whatever they want to pivot into. Talk to other working mothers that they can relate. There's a lot of groups out there, but definitely do your research. Definitely find the career or find the pivot where you might want to think that you may want to do, and maybe take like a short free class or watch some videos on YouTube. I mean, the internet is such a rabbit hole that you can go down one rabbit hole and then come out totally something different, and you may discover something that you may not have before, and then reach out to your network of even dads or parents or even caretakers too.
I'm sorry, dads. I didn't include y'all in that. I said mothers, any parent.
Yeah.
Going
yeah.
through this, right.
Yeah. Yeah. Even dads or, you know, parents, again, you know, who have pets, you know, anybody that is taking care of a living, breathing something, right? You know, doesn't have to be human. It can be a pet.
Yeah,
it can be,
definitely.
You know, anything. You know. Yeah, your baby, you know, of your plants, your house, your car, your motorcycle, you know, whatever it is, that's what brings them joy.
So in a recent episode, I talked about how it's important to build connections in the tech industry, especially as a junior designer who has no connections whatsoever. How can you foster a connection with someone that you don't know?
Yeah, actually, of what they are doing now, becoming a parent, that's already the hardest job. I get that a lot. I get questions from LinkedIn. Oh, hey, such and such there, or how do I do this, or how do I do that? So what I'm about to say is it's not a magic pill. It's not like you're going to have superpowers. It's pretty simple, just saying, hi, hello, how are you? I read an article and I just wanted of your thoughts about this. Just do a really simple intro. Just ask them, you know, how are you doing? You know, so what's your next big project? You can just write one or two sentences, keep it simple, but that's how it starts. Most of all of my connections that I've made, I just said, hey, how you doing? You know, are you being safe? I hope you and your family are being safe. Did you enjoy the nice weather that we're having outside, depending what location they are from? If they're not from the States, you know, I would look up, oh, so where they're from? Oh, okay. Oh, well, it's winter over there. It's like, oh, I hope it's not too cold. Oh, the last time I saw snow was like 10 years ago, XYZ, you know, whatever. But just break that ice with them. And 9 times out of 10, they will reply back because it's short, it's sweet, right? Short and sweet to the point.
Yeah, I love whenever I get DMs of people just saying like, hey, I saw you do this and I had a quick question, and it is asked a question. Like, yep. Just, you know, go and ask people. Most people are friendly. Mm-hmm. And one thing I love to tell people is if they don't respond, I don't think you want to talk to them anyways. Maybe they just are not a friendly person, right? So just reach out to people, LinkedIn, Instagram, you know, wherever you are on social media. And as Terry said, it could just be a simple like, hey, how's it going? Or like, I got a quick question about product design. I saw you were a product designer. Hey, I saw you work at this company. I'm curious of like, you know, what a day in the life at a company like that is. I'm trying to, you know, scale the difference between startups and, you know, big corporations. Like, I'm trying to figure out where I want to work. Mm-hmm. Most of us designers are happy to give any wisdom that we can, especially to people of color that are trying to get in and learn more about UX design.
And then also too, if you do reach out to that person and just say, if that person does not respond within a week and a half or like 2 weeks, it's okay to nudge, say, hey, I'm just checking in. Because how the way LinkedIn's thing is, their messages, they get buried. And sometimes
that is true. Yeah.
And sometimes when I get something, it's like, oh no, I thought I replied to that person. And you know what? I do have something in there, but I forgot to hit send because I'm either distracted or like a family member comes in, says, hey, and I'm like, oh, okay. And then my attention is like elsewhere. And it's like, oh no, I totally forgot to reply. So it's okay if you send those friendly check-ins, says, hey, I hope you had a good weekend, or just something like that, right? Yeah, it's okay to nudge and to poke too.
Yes, I second that, definitely. And it can, I would say like even up to like a third or I mean, second follow up, I think would be okay, because I totally relate to what you just said, Terry, about LinkedIn messages getting buried or forgetting that I started a conversation, but then I never sent my response, which is frustrating because there's no way to, or maybe there is a way to mark it as unread. There probably is, but I'll go into the message, right? But then it's like, as soon as you go into the messages, it'll mark them like all as unread, depending on if you're viewing on mobile or on desktop. On mobile, it does that, but I think on desktop, it doesn't.
Exactly. Yeah. So when I read something and I don't reply on my mobile, I always say mark is unread. So therefore it's on the top. And then I would remember if on my desktop. So I will have my phone with me. And like, okay, I replied. Okay, great. It's like, oh, I read it on my desktop. Then I would grab my phone and have it marked as unread. So I know my phone is like another child because it's like, you know, it's a part of you because yeah, everything's there.
Yeah. I don't know what I would do without my phone.
I know it will feel weird. It's like having like of a third arm or like a third hand or like a second brain or a second head, something.
So you mentioned to me that there's a correlation between UX and you being a Muay Thai fighter. What do they have in common?
Oh my God. Yeah, I know. People call me kind of crazy with this because when I started to do Muay Thai, I didn't know anything about it. I was so horrible when I started. It was just the unknown field, you know, having a mom in there in the gym with like all these athletes, and it was like movie stars in there, great shape people. I was like, oh, talking about intimidating. Oh my gosh. So I went in there, I was like, I have no idea what the thing I am doing, no idea. But it was one of the better decisions that I've made, because when you talk about Muay Thai boxing, you are using your brain, your muscle, and the steps, and you are defending yourself. You are definitely having the headspace, and you are so focusing on your movements and your punching. And when your glove hits that pad, it's just the sound and the movement and the rhythm. And when I understood the rhythm, I understood what UX is. It's part of the rhythm. It's part of that design. It's part of that flow of when you're seeing something and something happens next. And sometimes when you get stuck on a flow, like, well, should I have a pop-up here or should I have something? I'm kind of stuck. And basically, I would remember the rhythm of a certain combination, kind of just take a deep breath. And it's like, okay, it's, you know, 1-1-2 or, you know, 2-3-2, whatever, you know, whatever the combination is. And then I would bring myself back to the problems, like, oh, okay, how would the flow look? How would the cadence be? How would everything will look? And then for me, I would just map those two together. And that would help me have to really like focus on the problem and focus just the task, what I needed to do. And for me, that was it was great. I still do that now, you know, even during the pandemic, you know, I just do shadow boxing in the bathroom or wherever just to get that flow going. So for me, I love it. It's a great thing to have and to learn and just to adjust of your headspace too.
I haven't even attempted to get into Muay Thai. The closest I've done is kickboxing, and that is super intense. But there's something about the energy that you're like releasing from your body as you're hitting the bag. It makes me feel stronger. I don't know about you, but like I feel like really empowered after when I was doing kickboxing. After I did a workout, I felt like even more motivated to get through today.
Yeah, absolutely. Because when you go through a 3-minute round and you do that for like 6 rounds, and then at the end of the last round, you're like, oh my God, I'm just going to just collapse on the floor. And then, yeah. And then after, you know, of course you get dressed, you know, and you're all clean. And a couple hours later, you're like, oh my God, okay, I can attack anything. If anything comes my way, mm-hmm, I can deal with it. That's easy. I've already done the hard part. Everything else is going to be like a piece of cake. It's like, okay, yeah. It's definitely, for me, it cleared my mind. It made my mind so much stronger. Just, it's like, yep, I can do this. I can do anything.
I love this analogy that you have of rhythm in the correlation to UX. It's one I haven't thought of before, and it's definitely one I'm going to remember now.
Great. Yeah, I mean, like I said, Muay Thai, definitely, because when I was 8 months pregnant, I continued to do Muay Thai boxing. I still did the kicking. I still did everything. So if I'm having a hard day or, you know, if I get to that space, I start things like, wait a minute. No. I did this while I was pregnant. No, no excuses. Come on, buddy. So yeah. So if I can do that, then this should be a good day and just change it around.
So let's talk about your podcast. If you guys didn't know, listeners, Terry has a podcast too. Make sure you go and subscribe to her podcast. They have it available. It's called Ramblings of a Designer. Her and what's the guest name on the podcast?
Laszlo. He is my co-host. Yes.
Awesome. So yes, make sure you check out their podcast as well. But I want to know, what inspired you to get into podcasting?
This is kind of a, I fell into it. I think everything I've done, I've just kind of like fell into it just by talking to somebody and they go, no, you should do it all.
Guys, connections, like we said.
Yeah. It is. Basically, it was a fellow designer, Adam. Hi, Adam. He goes, Terry, do you want to do a podcast with me? I'm all, number one, you're asking me. Okay. Number two, I'm horrible. I don't talk. I don't express. I'm not any good. He's all, oh, come on. I'm all going, okay, you know what? I'm going to do it because I feel so uncomfortable. So I'm going to say yes. So it was Adam's idea and we talked about it and, you know, and we just kept on just talking on the phone. It's like, well, let's just call it Ramblings of a Designer because it's pretty open. You know, we can talk about design and most of us, we do ramble. So let's just call it that. So we called it that and we continue to do it. And within a year and 6 months, Adam changed gears and he wanted to do some more personal projects. And that's when Laszlo came onto the show and he's been my co-host for about over 6 months now. I'm so glad I did it. I love it. You get to meet interesting people and you learn from them. It's just another platform, another way of to share other people's stories, because even though it may not help right now, but maybe 3 months from now, somebody is stuck or they're not sure where to go and they hear a podcast and like, that is just what I needed. That gave me a clear direction of where I need to go. So I think podcasts in general, it's a great tool to give direction and guidance that people who seek it, maybe they don't have a very good, strong support system as well too.
Yeah, I feel like we have the same motivations for why we got into podcasting. For me, it was mainly about just wanting to get better at public speaking because I would get super nervous during meetings and sometimes so much self a little bit short. But yeah, as far as like the motivations, like it's just I want to encourage as many people as possible by bringing on guests, having solo episodes as well. For people of color that don't even think of this as a profession, maybe they just see someone, you know, that looks like them and they'll be like, oh, like I never even thought about myself as a UX designer, product designer. So then they, you know, maybe they start to listen back to some episodes to see what it's all about. Yeah, I think it's great a resource for people to see what it's like in the real world, you know, getting into this industry.
Yeah. And if there's individuals out there saying, oh, well, if I start a podcast, there's so many podcasts out there already. Who cares? It doesn't matter. Just start. Just do it, because that's what I thought at first. Like, oh my God, there's so many podcasts. Who's really going to listen? But it's like, what? It really doesn't matter because you're just doing it just to do it, just to practice and just really hone in of your craft of talking. And communication is so huge, because if you can design really, really well, but you can't communicate, that's going to be a little hard.
It's like the biggest skill you have to have as a UX designer. You need to be able to articulate all of your ideas and presentations, or no one's going to want to go at what you have to say. It's a way to validate basically everything.
Yeah. And I still need working on that. I mean, that's why I'm doing podcasting. That's why I'm doing conferences, so I can really focus on my communication to individuals to have that flow or that rhythm, as you might say. But you know, it's definitely always a work in progress. You can always get better. I know I need a lot of practice.
Let's take a short break. Did you listen to this episode before it launched? My email club members are the only people who get access to this behind-the-scenes info. They're the first to know when I launch new products, post a new blog post, and they also get access to new episodes before anyone else. This weekly email is a way for you to see the behind-the-scenes of what new things are coming to UI Narrative. I also share my weekly UI UX inspirations, tips, and product challenges, so you really get to see what my creative process is like each week. So the next episode is about, oh wait, I can't tell you. You have to join the UI Narrative Email Club to hear more. You can join at uinarrative.com/email club. That's uinarrative.com/email club. I have a lot to tell you, so I can't wait to talk to you soon. So you mentioned that you do conferences as well, and I've seen some of your videos online. How did you get into conferencing? And also too, like, how do you prepare for it? It's something I want to get into hopefully sometime this year. But yeah, just like some advice from you.
Yeah, no, that's a really great question. Yeah, definitely how the way I started out, like I said, I know this may sound kind of the opposite, but when it comes to speaking in people or like being center of attention, I'm so the opposite. I'm just so the opposite. But I make myself do it because I have to be out of my comfort zone. If I feel comfortable of doing something, that means I need to do the opposite. I need to be uncomfortable. The more uncomfortable I feel, that means I'm learning something. That's just my own, that's my own personal thing. But yeah, no, definitely just with the conference, I just do research, you know, on Google. You know, Google is like my second husband. We have a running joke. If my kid says, oh, where's dad? Oh, dad's Google. What do you mean Google? Oh, I'm just asking. But anyway, it's a running joke. But yeah. So anyway, I just Google conferences and basically I just reach out to say, hey, I saw your conference. I think it looks amazing. You know, so what is the process to do? And then that's it. And then that's how I start the conversation with them. And then they come back saying, this is the process. I said, okay, great. And then I look at the process and then I will always have a question about the process because that's how you build relationship with them. I always pitch them my idea. It's like, well, I was thinking about this. I don't want to waste anybody's time, but do you think this might be something might be of interest? And 9 times out of 10, they will reply back saying, I like that. Definitely. I said, okay. And then I will do a proposal and send it off to them. And then if I get picked, I get picked. If I don't, I don't, but that's okay. And then 9 times out of 10, they would tell me, oh, we really liked your stuff, but we had over 555 applicants, but please try next year again. I said, great. I always have this expectation of any time I apply for a conference. If I can just get to know them better, that's already a win. You know, I don't even care. If I get in, great. If I don't, it's no skin off of my nose. As long as I'm just putting myself out there each time, that's a win.
Thanks for that advice. For any of you who are also designers looking to get into conferences or public speaking, like she said, ask about their process and a way you could find like an email if you're looking for how to contact them. Either it'll probably be on the conference website or there's this cool plugin called Contact Out. It's a plugin for Chrome. So basically you can use that plugin to go on to LinkedIn when you have it installed as an extension. When you're on their page, you can find an email from them if they have an email available. But that's a quick way to figure out how to reach out to them. But yeah, thanks for that advice. I'm definitely going to write that as my note about asking them a question about the process and then also to like giving a follow-up email of what my idea of a presentation looks like to see if I'm on the right track. So I'm curious, do you have like a favorite guest that you've had on the show so far on Ramblings of a Designer?
Oh my God. To be honest with you, we have a lot of great people that came on just from motion designers, just from inspirational interns and product owners and product managers. And we've had engineers come on. I would have to say is when we have somebody who wants to go over their portfolio, I really love those sessions because that's when I reach out to my network of recruiters who want to volunteer their time to help somebody to really deep dive into their portfolio of what they want to get feedback from. So within there, we have at least three people. It's me, Laszlo, James, or maybe another recruiter that can give that person insight on like all the stakeholders and just to give them enough information or, you know, or whatever they want to get out of that session for them.
I think I'm just like you when it comes to like it being hard to choose a favorite guest. Just because, like, first of all, I'm having a great conversation with you today, Terry. So it's like, you're on the list. All the previous guests I've had have been amazing as well. But I think, like, the main thing I love with the guests is whenever I can hear, like, their personal background of, like, how they came up and how they got introduced into UX design. Because, like, everyone comes from, you know, completely different cultures, backgrounds. And I think it's just so interesting to see, like, how they incorporate that into their work. I mean, you being a Muay Thai fighter, I think that's pretty, you know, out there. Like, I haven't heard that before and how you incorporate it with UX. So just hearing stories like that is super inspiring to me. And it just encourages me to keep looking out there to hear more people of color stories and how they got into UX.
Yeah, because a story, that's how you learn and that's how information is just passed on, you know, storytelling, you know, even the podcast, you know, anybody's on a podcast that's telling a story. It's a very important story because somebody, maybe a year from now, you will actually help that person to make a certain decision and stuff like that. Because, you know, when we talk about Muay Thai and everything, it's just like, I'm just in it. You know, I'm a novice, definitely not a fighter, because a fighter is like, they're in the MMA, they're like training hard. I'm on the other end of the stick. I just love what it does just for my life and for my health and mainly just my mind overall. You know, it's that happy zone.
So I like to end the show with a random question that's completely unrelated to everything we've been talking about. So the question this episode is, you can have an unlimited supply of one thing for the rest of your life. What is it?
Oh God, that's silliness and a bunch of laughter.
Oh, that's amazing. That's an amazing answer.
Yeah.
I would definitely, yeah. I mean, you cannot go wrong with that. Who doesn't want to be happy and have a good time?
Yeah, like, laughter is the best medicine ever, 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 ever. Last night, I was working in sketch and my sketch wasn't working right. And I was laughing so hard, like I was crying. And my kids were just like, what are you doing? I was just like, just literally on the floor, looking at my laptop, just like, oh my God. Oh, and just laughing and just, I was crying and laughing at the same time because nothing would go right. And so I was like, okay, it's time to stop my computer, restart and take a break and just put it away.
Like, I'm not even going to be mad. You know what?
Yeah. You're just going to laugh. And, you know, I know there's designers out there that they have their day or they work on a project. Mm-hmm. And when they save it, the file is corrupt and they've lost everything. So have a backup to a backup to a backup as much as possible.
I've been in Figma a lot lately and a lot of their, everything in theirs is like cloud-based. So if my internet goes out, then it'll show me that, like, you know, my work isn't saving. And that always gives me like a slight anxiety attack because I'm just like, is it saved somewhere? Like, what is happening right now? Like, what? I don't have a backup. Like, I can't leave my computer. I can't let it go to sleep. Like, I just start to think of all these things. And I'm like, I'm trying to get it connected to my hotspot on my phone so I can make sure it's saved. Cause I'm like, I don't know how long it's going to be out. Like,
I know. I mean, there, that's like a huge anxiety, like we're like, oh my God, like I worked on this for 2 hours and you're telling me my network's going to go down.
I think as long as you keep the file open, it saves everything. Because I've had the experience of, like, I'd have closed my laptop even with my Wi-Fi out. And when I came back, all my work was saved. So I think that's the trick for any of you guys listening, if you've had the same issues with your Wi-Fi going out on Figma.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. That's another thing. We are so reliant on our internet to do our work.
Yes, for everything. Everything I use is cloud-based. Google Drive, like all the Google Suite, like I couldn't go without it.
Oh, yeah. I bet. Yeah. And when your internet, you know, when your internet doesn't work, we definitely treat our laptop as a person. It's kind of like driving on the road, right?
Yeah.
I don't say road rage, but, you know, computer rage or something when you're just like, my computer. So,
and then you start talking to, like, what's wrong with you? Like, why are you doing this to me?
Exactly. And your computer turns into a person.
Yes.
Hey, I'm guilty of that.
I treat you well. I update you. Like,
yeah, I update you. I clean you. I make sure you're in a good spot. You're charged. Right. Your keys are clean.
This is how you repay me.
Exactly. It's kind of like your car. It's like, I put gas, I change your oil, I check your tires, and you're going to conk out now out of all the times, and now you're going to do it. Great.
I would choose unlimited free plane rides so I can travel anywhere in the world. I want to go somewhere really expensive, like Dubai or something.
Ooh, I always heard that that's a beautiful city. Oh, travel. That'd be so nice when we can all do that again.
I know. I miss traveling. Even though I didn't travel that much, now that it's been taken away from me, it's just kind of like, for the one or two times I would a year, you miss it a lot.
Yeah. But on the positive side, you're saving money.
Yeah, I am. Saving a lot of money.
Saving money is a good thing.
Yeah. All right. So where can we connect with you online, Terry?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter with my handle name is Flaxen Inc. And then you can on LinkedIn, of course, you just look at my name and then my website, just terryrodriguezhong.com.
And also too, where can we find your podcast, Ramblings of a Designer?
Yeah, you can find them. Great. Sorry, Laszlo, the podcast itself. Sorry, little tongue died. The podcast itself is definitely on pretty much on the Apple Podcasts, on Google Play and, you know, Spotify and everything.
Thank you guys for tuning in for this episode. Make sure to tag us if you have any questions about getting into UX design. We'd be more than happy to answer them. And make sure to check out Terry's podcast, Ramblings of a Designer, on Apple Podcasts. I appreciate you taking the time, Terry, to, you know, join us today. And I know listeners, especially parents, are excited to hear your perspective of, like, how you got into UX design. And also, too, maybe they're ready to take that career pivot to get started themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. You cannot go wrong. You just got to do something. Just make a move.
Thank you for listening to the UI Narrative Podcast. If you like what you hear, make sure to show this podcast some love by commenting and subscribing where you listen. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook at UI Narrative or Twitter at UI Narrative CO. I also respond to emails at hello@uinarrative.com. Talk to you later. Bye.